A brief sketch of the history, aims, and significance of the Baha'i Faith. Shoghi Effendi. The Faith of Baha'u'llah, a World Religion. The faith established by Baha'u'llah was born in Persia about the middle of the 19th century, and has, as a result of the successive banishments of its founder, culminating in his exile to the Turkish penal colony of Akko, and his subsequent death and burial in its vicinity, fixed its permanent spiritual center in the Holy Land, and is now in the process of laying the foundations of its world administrative center in the city of Haifa. Alike in the claims unequivocally asserted by its author and the general character of the growth of the Baha'i community in every continent of the globe, it can be regarded in no other light than a world religion, destined to evolve in the course of time into a world-embracing commonwealth whose advent must signalize the golden age of mankind. The age in which the unity of the human race will have been unassailably established, its maturity attained, and its glorious destiny unfolded through the birth and efflorescence of a world-encompassing civilization. Restatement of Eternal Verities. Though sprung from Shia Islam, and regarded in the early stages of its development by the followers of both the Muslim and Christian faiths as an obscure sect, an Asiatic cult, or an offshoot of the Mohammedan religion, this faith is now increasingly demonstrating its right to be recognized, not as one more religious system superimposed on the conflicting creeds which for so many generations have divided mankind and darkened its fortunes, but rather as a restatement of the eternal verities underlying all the religions of the past, as a unifying force, instilling into the adherents of these religions a new spiritual vigor, infusing them with a new hope and love for mankind, firing them with a new vision of fundamental unity of their religious doctrines, and unfolding to their eyes the glorious destiny that awaits the human race. The fundamental principle enunciated by Baha'u'llah, the followers of his faith firmly believe, is that religious truth is not absolute, but relative. The divine revelation is a continuous and progressive process, that all the great religions of the world are divine in origin, that their basic principles are in complete harmony, that their aims and purposes are one and the same, that their teachings are but facets of one truth, that their functions are complementary, that they differ only in the non-essential aspects of their doctrines, and that their missions represent successive stages in the spiritual evolution of human society. To reconcile conflicting creeds. The aim of Baha'u'llah, the prophet of this new and great age which humanity has entered upon, he whose advent fulfills the prophecies of the Old and New Testaments, as well as those of the Qur'an regarding the coming of the Promised One in the end of time, on the Day of Judgment, is not to destroy, but to fulfill the revelations of the past, to reconcile rather than accentuate the divergences of the conflicting creeds which disrupt present-day society. His purpose, far from belittling the station of the prophets gone before him, or of whittling down their teachings, is to restate the basic truths which these teachings enshrine, in a manner that would conform to the needs and be in consonance with the capacity and be applicable to the problems, the ills, and perplexities of the age in which we live. His mission is to proclaim that the ages of the infancy and of the childhood of the human race are past, that the convulsions associated with the present stage of its adolescence are slowly and painfully preparing it to attain the stage of manhood, and are heralding the approach of that age of ages when swords will be beaten into plowshares, when the kingdom promised by Jesus Christ will have been established, and the peace of the planet definitely and permanently insured. Nor does Baha'u'llah claim finality for his own revelation, but rather stipulates that a fuller measure of the truth he has been commissioned by the Almighty to vouchsafe to humanity, at so critical a juncture in its fortunes, must needs be disclosed at future stages in the constant and limitless evolution of mankind. Oneness of the human race. The Baha'i faith upholds the unity of God, recognizes the unity of his prophets, and inculcates the principle of the oneness and wholeness of the entire human race. It proclaims the necessity and the inevitability of the unification of mankind, asserts that it is gradually approaching, and claims that nothing short of the transmuting spirit of God, working through his chosen mouthpiece in this day, can ultimately succeed in bringing it about. It moreover enjoins upon its followers the primary duty of an unfettered search after truth, condemns all manner of prejudice and superstition, declares the purpose of religion to be the promotion of amity and concord, proclaims its essential harmony with science, and recognizes it as the foremost agency for the pacification and the orderly progress of human society. It unequivocally maintains the principle of equal rights, opportunities, and privileges for men and women, insists on compulsory education, eliminates extremes of poverty and wealth, abolishes the institution of priesthood, prohibits slavery, asceticism, mendicancy, and monasticism, prescribes monogamy, discourages divorce, emphasizes the necessity of strict obedience to one's government, exalts any work performed in the spirit of service to the level of worship, urges either the creation or selection of an auxiliary international language, and delineates the outlines of those institutions that must establish and perpetuate the general peace of mankind. The Herald. The Baha'i faith revolves around three central figures, the first of whom was a youth, a native of Shiraz, named Mirza Ali Muhammad, known as the Bab, Gate, who, in May 1844, at the age of 25, advanced the claim of being the herald who, according to the sacred scriptures of previous dispensations, must needs announce and prepare the way for the advent of one greater than himself, whose mission would be, according to those same scriptures, to inaugurate an era of righteousness and peace, an era that would be hailed as the consummation of all previous dispensations, and initiate a new cycle in the religious history of mankind. Swift and severe persecution, launched by the organized forces of church and state in his native land, precipitated successively his arrest, his exile to the mountains of Azerbaijan, his imprisonment in the fortress of Marku and Shirik, and his execution in July 1850 by a firing squad in the public square of Tabriz. No less than 20,000 of his followers were put to death with such barbarous cruelty as to evoke the warm sympathy and the unqualified admiration of a number of Western writers, diplomats, travellers, and scholars, some of whom were witness of these abominable outrages, and were moved to record them in their books and diaries. Baha'u'llah. Mirza Hossein Ali, surnamed Baha'u'llah, the Glory of God, a native of Mazandaran, whose advent the Bab had foretold, was assailed by those same forces of ignorance and fanaticism, was imprisoned in Tehran, was banished in 1852 from his native land to Baghdad, and thence to Constantinople and Adrianople, and finally to the prison city of Akkor, where he remained incarcerated for no less than 24 years, and in whose neighbourhood he passed away in 1892. In the course of his banishment, and particularly in Adrianople and Acre, he formulated the laws and ordinances of his dispensation, expounded in over 100 volumes the principles of his faith, proclaimed his message to the kings and rulers of both the East and the West, both Christian and Muslim, addressed the Pope, the Caliph of Islam, the chief magistrates of the republics of the American continent, the entire Christian sacerdotal order, the leaders of Shia and Sunni Islam, and the high priests of the Zoroastrian religion. In these writings, he proclaimed his revelation, summoned those whom he addressed to heed his call and espouse his faith, warned them of the consequences of their refusal, and denounced, in some cases, their arrogance and tyranny. Abdu'l-Bahá. His eldest son, Abbas Effendi, known as Abdu'l-Bahá, the servant of Bahá, appointed by him as the successor and the authorized interpreter of his teachings, who, since early childhood, had been closely associated with his father and shared his exile and tribulations, remained a prisoner until 1908, when, as a result of the Young Turk Revolution, he was released from his confinement. Establishing his residence in Haifa, he embarked soon after on his 3-year journey to Egypt, Europe, and North America, in the course of which he expounded before vast audiences the teachings of his father, and predicted the approach of that catastrophe that was soon to befall mankind. He returned to his home on the eve of the First World War, in the course of which he was exposed to constant danger, until liberation of Palestine by the forces under the command of General Allenby, who extended the utmost consideration to him, and the small band of his fellow exiles in Acre and Haifa. In 1921 he passed away, and was buried in a vault in the mausoleum erected on Mount Carmel, at the express instruction of Baha'u'llah for the remains of the Bab, which had previously been transferred from Tabriz to the Holy Land after having been preserved and concealed for no less than 60 years. Administrative Order. The passing of Abdu'l-Bahá marked the termination of the first and heroic age of the Baha'i faith, and signalized the opening of the formative age destined to witness the gradual emergence of its administrative order, whose establishment had been foretold by the Bab, whose laws were revealed by Baha'u'llah, whose outlines were delineated by Abdu'l-Bahá in his will and testament, and whose foundations are now being laid by the national and local councils which are elected by the professed adherents of the faith, and which are paving the way for the constitution of the World Council to be designated as the Universal House of Justice, which, in conjunction with me as its appointed head and authorized interpreter of the Baha'i teachings, must coordinate and direct the affairs of the Baha'i community, and whose seat will be permanently established in the Holy Land, in close proximity to its world spiritual center, the resting places of its founders. The administrative order of the faith of Baha'u'llah, which is destined to evolve into the Baha'i World Commonwealth, and has already survived the assaults launched against its institutions by such formidable foes as the kings of the Qajar dynasty, the caliphs of Islam, the ecclesiastical leaders of Egypt, and the Nazi regime in Germany, has already extended its ramifications to every continent of the globe, stretching from Iceland to the extremity of Chile, has established in no less than 88 countries of the world, has gathered within its pale representatives of no less than 31 races, numbers among its supporters Christians of various denominations, Muslims of both Sunni and Shia sects, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, and Buddhists. It has published and disseminated through its appointed agencies Baha'i literature in 48 languages, has already consolidated its structure through the incorporation of 5 national assemblies and 77 local assemblies in lands as far apart as South America, India, and the Antipodes. Incorporations that legally empower its elected representatives to hold property as trustees of the Baha'i community. It disposes of international, national, and local endowments estimated at several million pounds and spread over every continent of the globe. Enjoys in several countries the privilege of official recognition by the civil authorities, enabling it to secure exemption from taxation for its endowments and to solemnize Baha'i marriage, and numbers among its stately edifices 2 temples, the one erected in Russian Turkestan and the other on the shore of Lake Michigan at Wilmette, on the outskirts of Chicago. This administrative order, unlike the systems evolved after the death of the founders of the various religions, is divine in origin, rests securely on the laws, the precepts, the ordinances, and institutions which the founder of the faith has himself specifically laid down and unequivocally established, and functions in strict accordance with the interpretations of the authorized interpreters of its holy scriptures. Though fiercely assailed ever since its inception, it has, by virtue of its character, unique in the annals of the world's religious history, succeeded in maintaining unity of the diversified and far-flung body of its supporters, and enabled them to launch, unitedly and systematically, enterprises in both hemispheres designed to extend its limits and consolidate its administrative institutions. The faith which this order serves, safeguards, and promotes is, it should be noted in this connection, essentially supernatural, supranational, entirely non-political, non-partisan, and diametrically opposed to any policy or school of thought that seeks to exalt any particular race, class, or nation. It is free from any form of ecclesiasticism, has neither priesthood nor rituals, and is supported exclusively by voluntary contributions made by its avowed adherents. Though loyal to their respective governments, though imbued with the love of their own country and anxious to promote at all times its best interests, the followers of the Baha'i faith nevertheless, viewing mankind as one entity and profoundly attached to its vital interests, will not hesitate to subordinate every particular interest, be it personal, regional, or national, to the overriding interests of the generality of mankind. Knowing full well that in a world of interdependent peoples and nations, the advantage of the part is best to be reached by the advantage of the whole, and that no lasting result can be achieved by any of the component parts if the general interests of the entity itself are neglected. Nor should the fact be overlooked that the faith has already asserted and demonstrated its independent religious character, has been emancipated from fetters of orthodoxy in certain Islamic countries, has obtained in one of them an unsolicited testimony to its independent religious status, and succeeded in winning the allegiance of royalty to its cause. Tributes by leaders. It is like a wide embrace, is Queen Marie of Romania's own tribute, gathering together all those who have searched for words of hope. It accepts all great prophets gone before. It destroys no other creeds and leaves all doors open. The Baha'i teaching brings peace to the soul and hope to the heart. To those in search of assurance, the words of the Father are as a fountain in the desert after long wandering. It is a wondrous message that Baha'u'llah and his son Abdu'l-Bahá have given us. They have not set it up aggressively, knowing that the germ of eternal truth which lies at its core cannot but take root and spread. It is Christ's message taken up anew, in the same words almost, but adapted to the 1,000 years and more difference that lies between the year 1 and today. If ever the name of Baha'u'llah or Abdu'l-Bahá comes to your attention, do not put their writings from you. Search out their books, and let their glorious, peace-bringing, love-creating words and lessons sink into your hearts as they have into mine. The teachings of the Bábís, wrote Leo Tolstoy, have a great future before them. I therefore sympathize with Bábism with all my heart, inasmuch as it teaches people brotherhood and equality and sacrifice of material life for service to God. The teachings of the Bábís, which come to us out of Islam, have, through Baha'u'llah's teachings, been gradually developed, and now present us with the highest and purest form of religious teaching. Take these principles to the diplomats, is the late President Masaryk's advice, to the universities and colleges and other schools, and also write about them. It is the people who will bring the universal peace. The Baha'i teaching, is President Edward Benesch's testimony, is one of the great instruments for the final victory of the spirit and of humanity. The Baha'i cause is one of the great moral and social forces in all the world today. I am more convinced than ever, with the increasing moral and political crises in the world, we must have greater international coordination. Such a movement as the Baha'i cause, which paves the way for universal organization of peace, is necessary. If there has been any profit in recent times, asserts the Reverend T.K. Cheney in his The Reconciliation of Races and Religions, it is to Baha'u'llah that we must go. Character is the final judge. Baha'u'llah was a man of the highest class, that of prophets. It is possible indeed, declares Viscount Samuel of Carmel, to pick out points of fundamental agreement among all creeds. That is the essential purpose of the Baha'i religion, the foundation and growth of which is one of the most striking movements that have proceeded from the East in recent generations. Palestine, is Professor Norman Bentwich's written testimony, may indeed be now regarded as the land not of three, but of four faiths, because the Baha'i creed, which has its center of faith and pilgrimage in Acre and Haifa, is attaining to the character of a world religion. So far as its influence goes in the land, it is a factor making for international and interreligious understanding. And finally is the judgment passed by no less outstanding a figure than the late Master of Balliol, Professor Benjamin Jowett. The Bábí movement may not impossibly turn out to have the promise of the future. Professor Lewis Campbell, an eminent pupil of Dr. Jowett, has confirmed this statement by quoting him as saying, "This Baha'i movement is the greatest light that has come into the world since the time of Jesus Christ. You must watch it and never let it out of your sight. It is too great and too near to this generation to comprehend. The future alone can reveal its import."